Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, June 13th. And here are some of the stories we're covering. IGAD leaders call for a face-to-face meeting with Sudan's two warring generals.
We have taken the decision that Kenya, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Somalia will, in the next 10 days, meet face-to-face with General Burhan and General Dagalo.
We'll talk with a member of Sudan's civil society about the time frame for such a meeting. The value of Zimbabwe's currency continues to plummet despite rescue attempts. The former chair of Liberia's Anti-Corruption Commission says the appointment of new members violates the constitution. With less than 2 weeks before Sierra Leone's June 24 election, an opposition candidate goes to court.
Our constitution also provides that for him to occupy such a position, he should have been a registered voter, which he was not.
And Denver's contemporary art gallery at Two Painters from Ghana as Egoma Dance Festival celebrates art, peace, and cooperation. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Member Intergovernmental Authority on Development, also known as IGAD, has announced that Kenya, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Somalia will, in the third week of this month, meet face-to-face with two Sudanese military generals involved in the ongoing fighting in the capital, Khartoum. IGAD says the meeting could help end the conflict in Sudan. From Nairobi, reporter James Shimayula has the story.
Representatives of four nations will meet soon with the Sudan Armed Forces Commander General Abdel Fattah Burhan and the leader of the Rapid Supportive Forces General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo. Kenyan leader William Ruto made the announcement in Djibouti from the venue of IGAD's yearly Heads of State Summit.
We have taken the decision that Kenya, Ethiopia, South Sudan and Somalia will, in the next 10 days, meet face-to-face with General Burhan and General Dagalo so that we can speak to them directly on behalf of IGAD with a view of stopping the war that is raging in Sudan, ceasing all manner of hostilities, ensuring that we have a commitment from them to stop the war that is going on in Sudan so that we can save the lives of the people, infrastructure.
But Ruto did not say whether he and the leaders of the other three countries will meet the generals. Mohamed El Amine Soef is the special representative of the chairperson of the African Union Commission for Somalia.
The Sudanese crisis calls for swift action. It calls for united action and a strong solidarity on our part. The African Union has never, as far as I can remember, worked so energetically for a solution to an African crisis as it has done for Sudan.
Sylvie Tabese, the European Union ambassador to Djibouti, saluted the presidents of Djibouti, Kenya, and South Sudan for their efforts to end the conflict.
The European Union wants to thank President Ismail Omar Guelleh, President William Ruto, and President Salva Kiir to mediate for a prolonged ceasefire in Sudan and a return to stability for a clear civilian transition in the Republic of Sudan.
IGAD's announcement came shortly after ceasefire talks sponsored by the United States and Saudi Arabia failed to bear fruit. Diplomatic sources in East Africa and the Horn of Africa say the United Arab Emirates supports General Dagalo, who has long established business ties with Dubai, and they say General Burhan has sought support from Egyptian President Abdel El Sisi, with whom he attended the Cairo Military Academy many years ago. For VOA Africa, I'm James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
Leaders of the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, also known as IGAD, meeting in Djibouti, have been discussing the nearly two-month-old conflict in Sudan and the security and humanitarian problems associated with it. As part of the roadmap to end the conflict, the leaders have proposed a face-to-face meeting between General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, commander of the Sudan Armed Forces, and General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, leader of the RSF. The IGAD leaders hope the meeting will take place within 2 weeks. Mohamed Al-Tahishi is a former member of the Sudan Sovereign Council. He tells me that the two-week time frame is too long because of the fluidity of the crisis in Sudan.
The historical role that IGAD organization being played in Sudan, I have to mention the comprehensive peace talk that's agreed on the Naivasha agreement. Coming from that background, I think the organization looking for its traditional role to mediate the peace process in Sudan. Regardless of that things, I think they now calling for a face-to-face meeting between General Burhan and General Himeti before going to put a proposal of the comprehensive peace process.
But is it possible to have a face-to-face meeting between General Burhan and Dagalo?
I think there is two problems in this proposal. Number one, the proposal for 2 weeks for that meeting. I don't think the current conflict here in Khartoum can wait until that time to come. I think by that time, there should be major development on the ground. So I think that is not workable, in my opinion. Number two, I think it is too far for IGAD to reach that face-to-face meeting. I don't think that is possible by now. And I think would be possible for IGAD to call for a pre-leaders meeting before calling for a head-to-head meeting between General Burhan and Himeti. I don't think that is possible, in my opinion.
What do you mean pre-leader meeting? What is that?
Well, I think there is an option for the IGAD to call for a representative from RSF and also representative from SAF for this time. Before that meeting to be held, I don't think it's possible for the IGAD to call for a head-to-head meeting between Burhan and Himeti.
Do you think the civilian groups in Sudan have any role in any attempt by IGAD to bring about peace?
Well, I think there is some facts we got to consider on this process. Number one, we cannot ignore the role of the international mission in Sudan. And number two, I think there is an ongoing facilitators in the Sudan situation. That's a combination between the United States of America and Saudi Arabia. We cannot ignore this role, not only in this incidents, even when the political process was developing, the American and the Saudi and Emirates, which we call it the GUAT group, play a major role in this development happening in Sudan, in the security issues and the political issues. We cannot ignore this fact as well.
Mohamed Al-Tahishi is a former Sovereign Council member and a senior peace fellow at the Washington, D.C.-based Public International Law and Policy Group. He was speaking with me from Sudan's capital, Khartoum. In Zimbabwe, the central bank's efforts to arrest the sharp depreciation of the country's dollar seems to be failing. This as the currency took a nosedive and was trading on Monday at more than 6,000 against the U.S. dollar from about 2,600 on the black market, forcing prices up. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, where economists disagree on what the government should do.
Samantha Sibanda says the new measures by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe have not helped the economy. Instead, she's seeing prices go up and thus making it difficult for her to look after her four dependents.
There's no savings at all. And, you know, daily there's a shock that I get as well, just to see the everything is just going up. Data prices are going up. Everything, food is going up. Meal is going up. So at the end of the day, I just fail to plan. And, you know, also because of the kids that I take care of as well, you know, it's just from hand to mouth, basically.
But Trust Chikora, an economic commentator, says it will not be long before people like Sibanda start benefiting from the central bank's measures. He says that the liberalization of the exchange rate means the real value of the local dollar will soon be found.
They are increasing statutory reserves for banks to reduce money supply growth. Money supply growth is the one that drives the exchange rate. If you reduce money supply growth, you reduce the need to have the barrel rate continuing to go up. If we can stabilize the exchange rate, we will then be able to stabilize prices. So the policy direction is correct. It is what we have been calling for.
Not everyone agrees. Prosper Chitambara is a senior economist with the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe. He says Zimbabwe needs to work on increasing production and cutting government expenditure and then think of stabilizing the currency.
Another alternative could be maybe to adopt full dollarization, but with a clear roadmap of the benchmarks that must be achieved in order to then de-dollarize. But ultimately, de-dollarization, again, is a function of confidence. And confidence is a function of implementing the right monetary, fiscal, and institutional reforms.
Zimbabwe's government has ruled out dollarization, saying the country does not have enough US dollars to sustain the economy. That may mean a longer time for Zimbabweans like Sibanda before they see stable prices. Columbus Mafungam for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, June 13. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In Sierra Leone, a former attorney general and the presidential candidate of the opposition People's Movement for Democratic Change, the PMDC, has filed a petition, in quote, seeking the removal or resignation of the chairman of the Electoral Commission. Attorney Charles Francis Magai says the choice of Mohamed Kone as chairman of the electoral body violates the Constitution. Critics have questioned the timing of the court petition, saying it worsened the already tense political situation. VOA's Peter Clotty reached Attorney Charles Francis Magai in the Sierra Leone capital, Freetown, for more about his decision to seek a court redress.
The main reason is to ensure compliance of the Constitution.
What specifically did he violate, if I may ask, or the appointed authority violate in that regard?
He violated Section 61B of our national constitution, which says that if you're a public officer, or official, sorry, meaning you're receiving money from the consolidated fund or monies voted in by parliament, and you're appointed to a position of that nature, you should resign 12 months before taking off the appointment, which it did not do. And according to section 101, subsection 1, which is the definitive section, he is a public official. And secondly, our constitution also provides that for him to occupy such a position, he should have been a registered voter, which he was not. They tried to falsify it, but then there was rancor in the House of Parliament while they were considering his competence or otherwise to occupy the position. And I think about more than a third of the MPs voted against him being so appointed. But of course, you know, Africa, certainly not being an exception, they forced him upon the people.
But Mr. Magai, the question that a lot of Sierra Leoneans are asking is that why now? Why would you take legal action now when you knew this from the beginning? You should have sought legal redress so Sierra Leone would not be put in a very difficult position for the judicial system to review this case.
Sierra Leone is not being put in any difficult situation. I mean, you can always bring matters that are offensive to the Constitution at any time. If the judges deem it fit, they can, of their own motion, because of the important issues raised for determination, decide to put a halt to the process until the matter is finally gone into and decided. That is not for me. It's for them. I'm not a judge, and I have no intention of becoming one.
Some people are expressing concern that were the chairman of the Electoral Commission of Sierra Leone to be removed, it will undermine the efforts being put in place to organize this upcoming June 24 general election. Why do you disagree?
If you could go down memory lane, you will recall that the election before now in Nigeria, the chairman of the Electoral Council was removed 3 months to the elections, and the elections proceeded without hindrance. So time is not a barrier. I mean, he should have been honest enough to know that he was not qualified. He is a very educated man.
Attorney Charles Francis Mangai is the presidential candidate of the opposition People's Movement for Democratic Change of Sierra Leone. He was speaking with viewers Peter Clotty from Freetown. Liberian President George Weah last week named the new members of the country's anti-corruption commission, including its new chairman, Alexander Kwoma Zoe. The nominations are subject to Senate confirmation. Meanwhile, soon-to-be former chair Edwin Clamartin says reconstituting the commission is a flagrant violation of the Constitution. Last year, Clamartin recommended the prosecution of several government officials for alleged corruption. Soon afterward, the Liberian legislature amended the law creating the Anti-Corruption Bureau, limiting the powers of the body to freeze the assets of allegedly corrupt government officials. Clamartin tells me that he plans to go back to the Supreme Court for clarification of the law.
As far as I am concerned, the Liberian Anti-Corruption Commission was created by an act of the legislature that gave power to commissioners to act in consonance with the law. When I assumed power of the commission was completely dead. I took the commission to the present status of where the commission is now. And for the president to act in the way he acted, I think it's in violation of the recent opinion of the Supreme Court. And the recent opinion of the Supreme Court is unambiguous. So the action of the president is in complete violation of my constitutional rights and that of the opinion of the Supreme Court.
Yes, the legislative branch had the powers to amend the law creating the Anti-Corruption Commission. My understanding is that wasn't that already done?
We filed a petition consistent with law on our constitutional provision that our rights were being violated under the Constitution. Under the act creating the new LCC, the Supreme Court said that first, the action was premature. Second, the Supreme Court said that we acted strictly outside of the rules, that we were not affected. And the Supreme Court said that the law was futuristic. And the Supreme Court said, if the government decided to act consistent with their own rights, they should take due cognizance of Article 25 of the 1986 Constitution, which held that no law shall contravene the action of the contract rights of an individual. So, based upon that, we believe that the action of the president is in strict violation of the opinion of the Honorable Supreme Court.
Let's say your argument is correct, sir. The president has appointed the members of the new Anti-Corruption Commission. What do you intend to do?
Thank you, Bote. The question is very good. What we intend to do is that to seek legal opinion of the interpretation of Article 20 and Article 25 of the 1986 Constitution on our law. We believe that Article 20 is a due process. I was appointed, I was confirmed by the national legislature under the law, and my dismissal should insinuate cause. Where my dismissal had not insinuated any cause to show that the president acted by wrong rules. And we are saying that We acted based upon the fact that we were in strict conformity of what was created by the National Legislature under the 1986 Constitution, for the fact that we are not in violation of any act to prosecute those that violated and those that were caught in a corrupt act by this government. We believe that we are being persecuted. We are being chased by this government for the mere fact that we acted strictly in consonance of the law to go after those people who violated the rights of the Liberian people.
The last time I spoke with you earlier this year, you were saying that your life was threatened. Do you still feel that way?
But as I speak to you, I know that I'm being pursued by individuals. I know that my present situation is under threat. But come what may, we will speak and justify the rights of the people who have been violated.
Edwin Clamartin is the former chair of the Liberian Anti-Corruption Commission. He was speaking with us from an unknown location. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, the city of Goma has been hosting its official dance festival, a major event dedicated to peace. A number of dancers from Europe, America, the countries of the Great Lakes region, and several Congolese groups are performing together to promote the positive values of regional culture. Reporter Zanab Neti Zaidi has the story.
The effects of the atrocities of war are reflected in the performance of a group of young Rwanda dancers. In their show, they raise awareness of the need for a return to peace and peaceful cohabitation between peoples. They think dance is an excellent way of transmitting that message. Rwandan dancer Winnie Ange says she'd like to see even the politicians involved in peacemaking too. She says Rwandans, Congolese and Burundians are all one family. They've been well received here in Goma and they are delighted. This edition of the dance festival welcomed artists and festival goers from a range of backgrounds to show that the eastern part of the country is teeming with artistic talents. Faraja Batumike is a director of the festival and also a dancer.
Si le jeune venu du Rwanda pensait qu'au Congo on les détestait ou ils avaient une idée.
He says if young Rwandans think they are hated in Congo, or if Congolese think the same about Rwanda, this festival will change those perceptions because they have been walking together in love and peace. So the event plays a role in promoting living together. Young people from the town of Goma also appreciated the initiative. And this young festival goer says she was impressed by the energy of the young artists, just as she enjoyed spending time with young people from other countries in the sub-region. Esther Kuba says it's an opportunity for young people to get together and share their experiences. And it's a pleasure for her to meet talented young people full of joy and hope to celebrate peace and living together in her country. The Goma Dance Festival was launched in 2017, and besides its performances, it also organizes workshops for dancers to hone their crafts, as well as network with other professional dancers to open up opportunities. This year's edition wrapped up on Saturday. For VOA Africa, I'm Zanem Netizaidi in Goma.
And that's it for this Tuesday, June 13th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your morning with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I am James Butte in Washington, wishing that you will have an amazing Tuesday.
We are bringing women voices to the conversation. on things that matter to the hearts and minds of women. From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent. We hear your voices. Our voices. Right here on VOA on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC.